Okay. Well, you know, Pastor Phil and I, over the last year that we've been transitioned out of pastoring our own church, we've been traveling all around the different continents, mostly in C3 churches, and both of us know in our hearts that there is going to be a mighty revival among young people. Because I'm going to tell you something, you young men and young women, that if you will give your life to Jesus Christ and serve Him with all your heart and believe what you're singing, that I serve the Master, I'm never turning back, you will end up being 69 like me and still loving Jesus, still serving Him, still being a local church rat. Not only will you be committed to the house of God, but many of you in the future, I know it's hard for you to believe, some of you think you're just going to be carpenters or teachers, or which is great. Jesus was a carpenter, He was a teacher. But some of you, the call of God is going to come, is going to grip your heart tonight. Tonight. You know, the Bible says that, I love the scripture. I did share it a wee bit at the women's conference, but we're not there now. Boys are included. That Samuel the prophet came to the house of Jesse and said, call all your sons. I'm just speaking to the sons right now. Don't worry, girls, I'm getting to you. All the sons, bring all the sons. All the sons came, and he said, they're all great sons, but there's a generation that's represented by another son. Where is he? And they said, oh yeah, that's David, or he's miles away, he's across the hills, he's out there, he's just the youngest, and oh, he's a worshiper, and he wanders off, we don't know where he is, he doesn't take his mobile phone, nothing. And we lose him. He says, call him. So the poor old servant has to go out, David, David. He, you know, runs over the hills, over the fences, through the gullies and everything. And there he sees this lad sitting under a tree with all his flock around him in the shade, because it's the noonday sun. It's really hot there. And here he is sitting under the tree. And he's just worshiping God. He saved my soul, do, 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 in his language, of course, but I don't know it. I found the Savior, Rambidiada Borussi, ah, thank God. And he said, David, David, get up, you've got to go home, Samuel's calling you. He goes, Samuel, Samuel, he gets up, his heart begins to beat and pound, he's like, what's going on? You know what that feeling is when your heart's pounding? It's not because of the boy you like in class when you're in church. It's the anointing. It's God's Spirit coming upon you to call you. And that's why sometimes in worship, you know, when you're not distracted by your mates and looking at the pretty girls and looking at the nice boys in youth, which is great because it's good because many of you are going to marry somebody in the house of God. All of you, nobody out there, don't go out there. Hopeless, broken heart, broken marriages. Trust me, I'm a pastor. Don't do it. Help each other to make the right choices. David comes in, and the moment he walks in, he's all ruddy and sweaty and young and all fit and gorgeous, like all you young men here tonight. And Samuel takes the horn of oil, and it says that Samuel poured the oil into the horn and poured it over David's head. And from that day on, it says, the Spirit of God seized him, seized upon him. And tonight, that's what's going to happen to you young men and women. It says, my young men will dream dreams. My old men will see visions. See, nobody's left out. On my handmaids and my men servants, I will pour out my Spirit. You will prophesy. You ready? Because tonight, something wonderful is going to happen to all of you. First of all, to all you young people. So I need you to take the lid off that for me. And take it off. Don't spill it because it's my special anointing oil. It's the same recipe, apparently, that was poured on Solomon in the temple. J. John gave me this one. At least it hasn't leaked in my toilet bag yet, which is quite nice. You got it? Come, pull it off. Turn it. Yeah, come on. You're a strong girl. You're a strong girl. You're stronger. Keep that music happening in the background. You ready, you guys? I'm coming. Here she goes. Here it comes. You just pour it on this or pour it on here. Pour it on here. Thank you. That's enough. Not the whole lot. Good Lord. Just pour the whole lot on. Okay, you guys, you ready? Are you ready? Lift your hands to heaven. And you guys just be singing that song quietly in the background. I'm coming. Here we come. Are you ready? The Spirit of the Lord is coming upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is coming upon you. Anointing fresh oil upon these young men. Let the call of God, let the anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon these young men. I mucked up. Nope, there it is. It's fine. Oh, just get a bit of anointing myself. I feel quite good. I've got like fizzy things in my feet. So what happens? Oh, give each other a bit of a hug and you can go back to your seats. Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All over the world, God is calling a new generation. And it's actually, a generation is like every, I'm not a theology graduate, but every 50 years, there's a turnover of a new generation, right? Am I right? And this is the year of Jubilee. It's the year of freedom. It's the year where another when one generation says thank you. That's like Pastor Phil and I, we're still here, but it means that another generation rises up and takes the bull by the horns, puts their hand to the plow and does not look back. And trust me, the pressures for this generation and my generation are not dissimilar. They're not dissimilar. And all you have to do is make a clear heart decision, I will follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And I tell you, you have to make a decision now. Like even sometimes in the hardest moment of your life, that's when you bow the knee and say, you know what? Everything is going the wrong way for me. And this is the title of my message, but against the odds, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Even though everything looks like rubbish, I nearly said crap. Is that a bad word? Everything looks like it's going to the dogs, but I choose to follow you, Jesus. I choose to worship you. Oh, you're a worshiping church. No matter what your generation, keep worshiping Jesus. Keep, sing, O barren. That's what it says in Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren, you who have not brought forth, because you will bring forth. So the song of breakthrough comes, we sing it and the breakthrough comes. But we have to sing the song of breakthrough first. And even if it's with tears, even if it's with on our knees with ripped jeans like Pastor Eleanor, you're going to see the day of triumph. You're going to see the day of victory. And Phil and I have been so burdened for youth across our churches. And I see when we were in worship tonight, Pastor Eleanor and Pastor, what's his name? Alan. Sorry. I'm half jet lagged and I'm 69. And I've had COVID like 3 weeks ago. So my brain is a bit like, bad porridge. But I'm on for God. I saw as we were worshiping. I know that you've set free all your youth for this service, but I see what I saw in the revival when Phil and I got saved in 71 in that little church in Christchurch. Young people, they were all on the floor down the aisles. And it was so, there were so many people that in those days, the baptismal font was down there. Is that what that is? Oh, and they had to open up the curtains. Well, you've got the drums now, so that's not going to work. But they put chairs on top of the water baptism font, opened the blue velvet curtains because it was an AOG church in Sydenham. And all these hippies, 1,800 squeezed into that little church, weeping and praising God and coming to Jesus. And isn't that marvelous? And I see a new generation filling this house. You didn't build this house. You didn't have your vision builders and everything to make it nice and clean and lovely. You built it to be filled. I will fill my house, that God's house will be filled. And that is what is going to prophesy it, that you are put in the hard yards. You've joined your favorite tribe on earth, the C3 rebels. We're not rebels. We're rebels for Jesus, And I see an amazing generation of young people. Now, can I just for a moment talk to us older people, the mums and dads and the grandparents? We are to embrace whatever and whoever God brings in. And you know what? It won't be clean. It won't be tidy. It'll be like all in the manger. Like when Jesus was born, he wasn't born in a nice palace. He was born in a stable with animals and it stunk and there was poop on the floor and smelly stuff. But there, Jesus, that represents the house of God. When revival happens, it's a bit of a mess. It's a bit of chaos. And or sometimes for the control freaks, that's real hard to take. And I want to encourage all you mums and dads and grandparents and prayer warriors that you will pray and thank God for all the people that are going to come streaming through the doors of this house, through the doors of this house. You know, when we did get saved, it was August 71, we were lost. We were hippies. We were living together. We were doing drugs and being absolute idiots. But at the time, we thought we were cool hippies. Wow, this is really cool. But we got into darkness and we got scared. And we rang a friend, and that friend's mother overheard the conversation. And she had become a Christian at a Clark Taylor outreach in that Sydenham church 2 weeks before, and she was totally born again. She was a sort of a clairvoyant type. She got rid of all her stuff, and she was totally born again. She heard that conversation, and she said, "Who's that?" And the daughter said, "Oh, it's a friend of mine at art college." That was Phil. And he's freaking out. He's having bad demon dreams and everything. And she said, "Can I have his number?" And she rang us, and she said these words, "I know some people who can help you." See, we're all a part of this new move of God. People just don't very rarely sort of have an angel appear like Mary. That was pretty unique. That was pretty cool, eh? But normally somebody invites. There's a connection. And somebody's heart is open and they hear, "Oh my gosh." And so that little lady, May Hancock, was her name. She's passed away now. She rang Pastor Barton and said, "Oh, there's this kid." And he rang us up and he said, "Whatever you do, make sure you come on Sunday night." And it was and little May Hancock will be on the steps. And we had push bikes in those days. I don't want to say, but they were actually stolen ones. The Lord is so good. Oh my gosh, he's so gracious. We were lost, hey. I know it's hard to believe, but I've not always been redeemed. I was a really, really good sinner, and so then the pastor's wife got on the phone. She was scary. She was English, Barbara Barton, but she was so born again. When she got born again in England, her father forbade her to go to church, but she was so on fire. Do you know what she used to do? Her father was a drunk. She used to wait until he was really sozzled, and she would climb out the bedroom window, but like Pollyanna, onto the tree and down, and she'd go to church. She knew that when she got home, she'd be beaten, but she went. What happens? How does this happen? Because when we are seized by Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit, nothing will stop us. And that's the move of God we need. That's the seeking of God that we need to get on our knees. And I went up into your prayer room. I went up into your prayer room. As soon as Pastor took me in, I felt the anointing. Because that is the engine room of what is going to happen in the future in this church. If you've never booked in half an hour to be in that prayer meeting, just book it and get in there. Ask God to, "Oh, bring in the souls. Who can I bring? Who can I bring?" And so the pastor's wife said, "Oh, whatever you do, don't let the devil stop you from coming." And Phil told me that. Now, we'd been mucking around with Ouija boards and all that sort of stuff, and we knew the devil was real. You know how some people say, "Oh, it's a figment." No. Our friend was getting chucked against walls. Phil was seeing demons in his sleep. Like, we knew there was darkness. And so I said to Phil, "Well, you're not going alone. I'm coming with you." because we were boyfriend and girlfriend. So holding hands on our bicycles across Sydenham Bridge in Christchurch, we were looking out for the devil, make sure he wasn't going to knock us off. And we got there, and there was this little May Hancock standing on the steps. And she said to Phil, "Are you that boy?" And Phil said, "Oh, he had long hair and a beard. He was really cool. Oh, I loved him then. I love him now." He was an art student, and we had long black coats, and I had my long hair, and I had a little cap on. And he said, "Oh, I guess we didn't say it like that." He went, "Yeah, I'm that guy." Yeah, because, you know, that's how hippies talked in those days. You're sort of pretending you're stoned all the time, but he actually wasn't. But yeah, so here's the thing. This house is going to have this kind of a revival. I'm only referring to my story. I will get to the Bible. Phil said to me, "Please make sure you read a scripture." So, but when I saw all you young people, my heart was stirred, and I knew the Holy Spirit, get those young people, because my hand is going to be laid upon them. I'm going to seize upon them this night. So we walked. So May was behind us, and we walked into this foyer, and seriously, I'm not kidding, it was buzzing. Now, we knew what bad vibes were. Like, a few nights before, Phil had woken up at like 2 a.m. after this bad dream, and he was sweating. It was freezing cold, Christchurch in August, and he was sweating, and there was frost on the inside of the windows. We lived in a garage, a converted hippie garage. What were we thinking? We thought it was so cool. Anyway, and somebody at university had said, "If you ever feel like you're being attacked, call on the name of Jesus." So I turned on the light, and he was like, "Jesus, Jesus." And he started to say the Lord's Prayer. Like, he hadn't said it for years, but we used to say it every day in school assembly at Warrapa College in Masterton. He was shaking like this. Then it calmed down, and that was the next day when we rang. And here was May. So we knew bad vibes. Anybody here know what bad vibes are? I mean, I lived in a house of bad vibes. My mother was interesting. She wasn't into anything like that. She just was unhappy and angry all the time. So I wanted to be out of that house. And in a way, that's how I ended up in Christchurch doing training college, because I was trying to find something, trying to find my home, trying to find my identity. Who the diggins am I? I'm so unhappy. And Phil and I were drawn together because of the search for truth. He came from a broken family as well, a violent family. Mine was the quiet, you know, you've done something wrong all the time family. But his was violent and boozy and stuff being chucked. His father married after his mother had died of brain cancer when Phil was 5. So we had all this going on, the search. And do you know what's so amazing about God? He loves us anyway. You know, he loves us in spite of anything we've felt or done or are doing even now. His love looks down on humanity, looks down on each and every one of us and says, I'm about to do something wonderful for you. He's about to do something wonderful for you here tonight. He never stops loving us. He never gives up on us. Even when we blow it over and over again, he never stops loving us. He's never stopped loving you. Some of you are here saying, "If you knew what my life looked like, you wouldn't be, God would, he'd be passing me by." Never. Never. The only people Jesus ever passed by were these self-righteous Pharisees. All the rest of humanity he called and loved and healed and delivered and brought alongside, and he lived with them and he discipled them and he ate with them and he had fun with them and he told jokes with them. Our God's a happy God. We walked into that foyer. It was buzzing with electricity. Buzzing. And Phil took my hand and he squeezed it and he said, "Good vibes, babe." Yeah, it was good vibes. I don't know whether you felt it. As soon as I walked in here this afternoon, I felt the good vibes. I didn't know what the good vibes were, but the good vibes is the presence of God and the presence of prayer and the Holy Spirit and faith and expectation. And in my heart, I said these words, "I'm home. I'm home." And against the odds, that night, we went in, it was all pews and, you know, whatever, the open offering dish. I remember it had red velvet on it. And they passed it around. It was coming our way. We had no money. And May, who was sitting right behind us, gave Phil 20 cents so that we wouldn't be embarrassed about that offering. And that did something in Phil's heart where he thought, wow, these people are cool. And that night we were born again. We were born again, brother. And then, you'll love this bit. Remember, it's the AOG in 1971. The elders who were dressed in black suits with ties from the Boer War, they were so old, you could see the veins on their fingers. Like, they had been elders since that church had been, built after Smith Wigglesworth. Yeah, and they'd been praying in their prayer room for a move of God, and us aliens walked in. So they said, come with us. And the pastor's wife stayed with me. She said, you sit here, dear, in the pew. And they took Phil out the back room. They sat him on a chair. And they said, we're going to pray for you now. And he put his hands together like this, because that's what he thought you did when you pray. And all of a sudden, all these hands went on his head. And they started shouting, come out! Come out in the name of Jesus! And Phil was like freaking out. What's going on? Oh, oh. But all of a sudden, now I'm telling you, this is what happens when revival, darkness flees. You know, not everyone has dark stuff in their spirit, but well, we did. We'd been mucking around. And he said this black thing in his chest just went up, 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 and popped out of the top of his head. And he began to cry. And as he began to cry, I'm telling his story, but it's true. He said, my mouth broke. He was trying to say, thank you, Jesus. And he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Laughing and crying. Do you know he had not shed a tear since the age of 5 when his mother had died of a brain tumor? He had never cried. And he wept and wept, and the old folks, you know, they did the Abraham Pentecostal dance. You know, it hasn't changed much, by the way. You kids might go like this, but hey, it's pretty much a variation of all we did in the 70s. And he came out, and this has nothing to do with my notes, but I'm going with the Holy Spirit tonight. Is this all right? Is this all right? It's Sunday night. We're in the house of God, and it's raining outside. So, oh my goodness, you don't need another Bible study. If you needed another Bible study, you just go online. There's plenty of Bible teachers. Listen to Joyce Meyer. She's great. But I'm not Joyce Meyer, but I love her. So he came out, and he looked absolutely stoned. Like, I'd seen Phil stoned. But wow, he was like, wow. And I said to the pastor's wife, well, what happened to him? And she said, don't worry, dear, you'll get it next week. All the way home. So the transforming power of Jesus Christ gets in. Like, die into the chalk. Remember that toothpaste ad where the lady, Colgate or whatever, it says it gets in, you know, gets in and protects your enamel. Well, Jesus and the Holy Spirit got into him. We're biking home. Praise the Lord. He's shouting out. I'm like, what? Who is this guy? Who is this guy? This cool hippie that, you know, like, oh, wow, yeah, man. It's good. No, he was gone. He was born again. That old fool was going down. He was dead, crucified. We didn't know what any of that meant. We did not even know that God and Jesus were related. We thought God was out in India with Krishnamurti and all the gurus. That's where we were headed. But God arrested us, and that Spirit of God came on us and seized us from that day on. The next, yeah, we went home. And it was Sunday night, winter, and all our friends were there laughing. They knew. They've gone to Dorothy Elizabeth's mother's church. Ooh, praise the Lord. So we walked in, and they came out. They were laughing and carrying on, and said, oh, do you want to have a joint? And it was like, no. Hey, high enough. And one of them looked at me and said, I really thought he was a great flatmate. And he went, oh, you're not one of those Jesus people now, are you? And I went, oh, I suppose I am. Yeah. I went into the bathroom to look at my face to see if I looked different. But I wasn't as shiny as Phil was. Because it wasn't till the next week that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that was it. It was all over. Christine Cruikshank died. 3 weeks later, Phil and I got married. So, listen, when revival hits you and Jesus comes in, things are going to happen. You have to make some decisions. We were living together. We went to see the pastor that week and told him that we were living together. We didn't feel good about it. And he dropped his Bible. Dear old Pastor Barton, he's now like 97 in the old folks' home in Christchurch. He dropped the Bible and he went, well, I suggest that you, praise the Lord, hallelujah, that you part and maybe down the line consider getting married. And there was dead silence, just like there is here tonight. So while we took it all in, and Phil turned to me, didn't drop on his knee or anything. Here was my amazing proposal. How about it, babe? Yeah, we did. We got married and we had this vision in our heart. See, when Jesus gets into your life and the Holy Spirit's fire gets on you, you don't think about yourself anymore. We just said, let's get a big house and all live together and invite our friends and all the druggies and everything to come, and we'll do praise and worship and let's. We didn't even know that that was sort of like the beginning of ministry. We got this big house. All these kids would come to our Monday night house group and get saved. And we began to write choruses. How many of you remember Steve Aparana? Okay, he came to God in that era. And I remember him coming on a Monday night, and together with Phil and another guy and Steve, we wrote our first chorus. We and God can celebrate in Him. Oh, it was awesome. And we'd sing it over and over. Kids would get cry, and you know, all the hippies would come. One night, not long after, I tell you, the presence of God was so thick in that lounge room, and I'm not lying, there was a cloud in that lounge room. And at first we thought it was like a mist because, you know, it was sort of winter or something. But no, it was there for months and months and months. One night, the Hell's Angel bikie gang came to beat us up. And a lot of kids were already in there. We had like 7 or 8 bedrooms, and kids were witnessing and being shunda baranda, being prayed for and delivered and everything in the hallways and in the bedrooms. They came in and they walked into that presence of God. The presence of God is what changes people. Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm sending the Helper. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and He will be with you, and He will work with you. He will be your helper and your advocate. You're called alongside one. And so, oh my gosh, they came in, chains and everything. They came in all looking mean and tats and big chaps. And then they stopped, dropped everything, and just literally fell to their knees and sat in the corners like this. All of them got saved that night except one. His nickname was Popcorn. He was like the big leader of that chapter of the Hell's Angels. And he was scary. Oh, I was a bit scared of him. Oh, hallelujah, want a cup of tea? I think he would have liked something stronger, but we didn't, you know, in those days, you didn't drink, you didn't do anything, you were just, hallelujah, high on the Holy Spirit. And the next day, he came back, and Phil prayed with him. He sat down, he went, yeah, I didn't want to do it in front of my mates. And his name is Bruce Watson, and he married a gorgeous girl in the church. He now is in a church right now up in Queensland, and him and his wife have these great kids, and one of the sons is like a pastor on that staff. and we're in contact, and I'm like, I cherish that photo of you on that motorbike, Bruce, because you were one of the fruit of that great revival. And even Steve Apparana, he had his moments. Hey, do you know what? A lot of people have their moments. They drift away. But do you know how good the Holy Spirit is? He's called the Hound of Heaven. And once he's laid his hand on you, you can't escape. You might try. You might run. You might hide. But he's going to find you and love you and wrap his arms around you. Because he's a good, good God, isn't he? Isn't he, darling? Yes. He's a good, good God. So, I suppose I should read the Bible. I haven't read one scripture. Oh, I've kind of talked about one scripture. That in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And on your maidservants and manservants, I will pour out of my spirit. And that is what he's doing. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it tonight? Are you wanting more? Are you hungry for more of God? I'm hungry for more. This is 51 years that I've been saved. 51 years I've been married to my boyfriend, Phil Pringle. And we've got a ways to go. And I love Jesus. I'm hungry for him more and more. I want him to speak to me. I want him to touch me. I want him to speak to me out of the Word of God and seize me over and over and over again. Because no matter what we face, against the odds, God is going to get us. Against the odds, Abraham, I will go to the Bible. What time do I finish? 7 now? 30? Got a few minutes. I've got to see if any of the scriptures that I've got in my folder are relevant for tonight. The Bible, it's all good. Right? All right, it's all good. But it says that against hope, Abraham believed. So it was an impossible situation, and he had done it all wrong. He heard the promise, you're going to have a son, and it took ages and ages. It was getting old. Sarah's womb was all shriveled up. So even Sarah said, here, I'll give you my handmaid, and she can have a son for you. But God had said to Abraham, no, you're going to have a son through Sarah. So at the end of the day, the Bible says that against all odds, against all hope, Abraham decided that my way is not the best way. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe the promise that I'm going to have a son through Sarah. And you know what happened? Something wonderful happened. God didn't go, you twit. Now you've mucked up the whole plan. No. He's always got a door, a second door. He's always got a second opportunity. He's the God of the seconds and the thirds. I've met so many people who are like, I thought I was washed up, that God would not even hear me, but then he laid his hand upon me and I came back to him. His love drew me home. His love drew me back into the house of God, and here I am. So sometimes, even though we think it's over for me, we've got to push against the odds. Against the odds. Are you prepared to do it? Are you prepared to say, you know, in spite of what's happened, I'm going to move in and press into the wonderful person of Jesus Christ and believe God? And it says that he did. Against all hope, Abraham says, the Bible says in Romans 4, Abraham, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. So when we push against the odds, guess what? We not only have the breakthrough, but everybody around our lives reaps the benefit of our obedience. Your and my obedience, right, is hinging on other people's destinies coming to pass. And I know that for sure. It's like Jesus redeemed us, Phil and I, and then against the odds, we saw my sister saved and healed of brain cancer. We saw his father come to Christ and come forward on a Christmas Day service in Sydney. My mum, who was just the maddest Wilhelmina Cruikshank person you could meet, resisting for years and years and years, had a stroke. And the Lord said, go home. Now's the time. Against the odds. Because I was scared of her, right? She was scary, Billy Cruikshank. And we're in the kitchen. It was day 10. And Dave Pringle was about to pick me up and take me to Wellington Airport to fly back to Sydney. And we're having this cup of tea in the kitchen. And the Lord said to me, now. Like, the 11th hour. Not even the 11th hour. It was like 2 minutes to midnight. And so I was trembling. I tell you, I was like this. But I knew I'd heard from the Lord. And I said, Mum. Oh, Mum, Shonda Baranda. Mum, if you can tell me that everything that's happened in my life and Phil's in building the church and following Jesus and doing all these things for God is not real, I will never ask you to pray this prayer. It was coming out of my mouth. I was like, what are you saying? I will never ask you to pray this prayer. But if you can't, then we're going to pray right now. I tell you, it was like 50 demons were over in that little kitchen. The kitchen in the house that I grew up in, that I wanted to escape from. And here I was, against the odds, being given the task. And it was it. I knew it was it. And then I said, so let's pray. Our Father. Was the longest gap in the history of the world. And she went, our Father. I tell you, it was like a light went on in the kitchen and darkness just pinged off. I tell you, I prayed the longest sinner's prayer I've ever prayed with anyone. It went on and on. As we prayed, Mum began to cry. And all the years of heartache and of losing my father when I was a baby. They were deeply in love, a Scottish man. Apparently I'm like him, naughty, like my Scottish father. And all that grief and anger dropped off my mum as the Spirit of God saved her. She was born again by the Spirit of God. I can't tell you, have you ever led someone to Jesus and it means that much? Oh my goodness. You will, if you haven't, you will. You've got to believe that against the odds. I'll do it. Against the odds, I would press in. Against the odds, I'll believe God. Not long after that prayer, Phil went home to visit probably his family, and he was always terrified. He knocked on the door to see Billy. And she opened the door and stand up. The first time ever she went, Philip! And wow. Gave him a big hug. He said he dropped his suitcase. He was so shocked. She was totally born again. And when she did pass, not long after, maybe a year, not even that later, I went home and did the funeral and testified at her funeral. I tell you, God is a wonderful God. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. I want to ask you here tonight as we come to a close. Are you ready to press against the odds? Do you want God to come upon you and seize upon you in a new way? I know it's Sunday night and, well, I got a wee bit of time here. But if you're saying, Holy Spirit, I want you to refresh me. I want you to come upon me afresh so that I can be a part of this great move of God that is happening in the earth, by the way. And do you know how it happens? It happens not because angels appear. It happens because we respond and we begin to pray and we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to seize us and to come upon us in a new way. So, if this is you tonight, and I've already prayed for the young people, but I'm talking to the congregation here tonight. If you're saying, Holy Spirit, that is me. I want to be seized afresh. Speak to me. I want you to come upon my life in a fresh way. I wonder, as we all stand to our feet, if you could leave your seat and just come and stand on this altar. This is like an altar of fresh surrender, to the will and the call of God over us as believers to begin with. Thank you, Jesus. Shana marida da 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 da. Do do do. I've got this great scripture. It's here somewhere. Forgive me. It's like I've got everything here. Here it is. Wonderful presence of God here to come upon you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just begin to worship in the Spirit. Yeah. Quietly. Thank you, Jesus.
Fills everything, my God. You are my God. Holy is the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Holy is the Lord Almighty.
Lord, pour upon your people.
Seated on the throne.
Open up our eyes. Genesis 15, I want to close with a scripture and then I'm going to come down and lay my hands on you. This is just something great that I have done, and Phil, really, the first time I heard him say this, I'm like, yes. He said, Chris, when you're not sure, when you're in doubt, when you don't know the answer, look up. Just look up. Look up. Look up to God. I remember many years ago, our daughter was being a real little, you know, backslidden little disappointment. And I was so worried. I couldn't sleep. I cried all the time. Crying doesn't mean it's not necessarily faith. It wasn't. And Phil said, for goodness sake, Chris, stop crying. Take your burden to the Lord in prayer. So I did. I was like, you're right. You're right. So the Lord spoke to me and said this. Don't cry. Cry out. Cry out. Cry out. And I did. And she surrendered. Not immediately. It took a long time. Sometimes the will of a child is not the will of the parent. Hello? But God is faithful. And he's faithful over all your children, your sons and your daughters. And this is the time for you to look up. In Genesis 15, when Abraham had done all wrong, God came to him again in Genesis 15. After he had moaned and groaned to God and he said, I have no heir, Eliezer of Damascus will inherit my life. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but the son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. Verse 5, he took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6, Abraham believed the Lord and it was credited him as righteousness. Now, in these moments, these sacred moments on this altar and out there where you're standing, it's like we've come out from the tent of our circumstances. Because he was in the desert and the Lord said, come out from your tent and look up at the open sky, the sky filled with possibility, the sky filled with miracles, endless. Can't see the end of it. The open field of possibilities of God's miraculous power. Now, look up and ask the Lord, show me What do you see? What are you saying to me? Speak to me. Open my eyes. Some of you are going to dream again. Dreams have just died in the night. New dreams are going to be birthed in you. Holy Spirit's going to bring healing to you, healing to your loved ones. You're going to see miracles. You're going to be part of this great move of the Holy Spirit because you're going to be so filled and so open and so clear in your spirit as to what to do. You're going to be the May Hancocks to a generation, generations, not just young people, but older people that need Christ as much as these young girls and guys here today. So thank you, Jesus. I've got a little bit more oil left here. I'm going to pour it out. Oh, look, it's just enough. Isn't the presence of God so cool? You just want to stay in it forever? Guess what? We are. For the whole of eternity. Oh, not, it's better than this, but just lingering in His presence and dreaming dreams. But let's do it here on earth. Let's do on this earth everything that God has called us to do and to be and to build this house. Thank you, dear. That's awesome. Okay, I can see a massive revival of Asians. All nationalities. They're just going to come in, and you'll probably need interpreters, so get ready. Am I right? Are you in this church? Are you a firm member? Speak English? Yeah, do you speak? Yeah? Are you a member of this church? You're just coming.
No, I mean, I love it.
What? What's that?
I love it.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
She's amazing.
This lady you love?
She's amazing.
She's married. Pastor.
Yes.
That's wonderful. What nationality are you? Oh, I know you're Australian, but where are you?
Japan.
Love Japan.
Thank you.
Sushi's my favorite food. All right. You want to see a revival among your people in the city? Then you get on, be in that prayer room. Book it in. And start praying that God will open doors for you. And are you all Japanese? Yes. Are you Japanese too? Let's see a revival in all our cultures across New Zealand. Amen. Did I pray for you? Oh, are you a Kiwi? You are, yeah. Are you an actual Kiwi, or are you Fijian, Samoan? Are you, you're Māori? Oh, I grew up in Wairarapa College with Māori, Tongan, Fijian, and Nui. My guitarist in the folk club was Nui from Nui Island. Yeah, and I loved him so much. He could just sing without the guitar. Perfect harmony. Is that you? You're a bit of a worshipper? Are you on the team?
Yes.
Okay, that's awesome. Then write some songs, would you? You could be the new Steve Aparana for this church. Yeah, he only sings the old songs. We want a new song. Sing a new song to the Lord, right? Yeah, I mean, Steve, if you're listening. We love the old songs, but let's have a new song. You know, the Lord loves a new song. He says, sing a new song to the Lord. Yeah, so got a guitar? Got a ukulele? Yeah, baby. Lift your hands to heaven. What's your name? Joe. I love that name. My son, who's a worshiper, he's a Joe. He used to be a real Joe, but now he's got his life right. I've got some redemption stories for my kids. Have you got kids? Yeah? You got any kids that are like wandering off like my Joe was? Yeah, they're going to come back. You're going to worship them back in. You're going to see them come into the house of God. And one day you're going to hear one of, you got a son that's away? He's going to testify on this pulpit. One day, like my son Joe did. So Father, touch him, pour down upon this dear man, this great disciple of Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. on this young man. Blessing. Is there anyone I haven't prayed for? There, you. Oh, I'm coming. Sorry, Pastor, I'm going over time, but it's Sunday night and who cares? I can sleep in tomorrow. Oh, no, I got to catch a plane to somewhere. Lift your hands to heaven. Are you ready? You're going to see dreams and visions, you girls. Renewed vision. Hope deferred is going to come. You're going to have a fresh hope. A fresh hope. Come into your life in Jesus' name. Fresh hope, fresh dreams, fresh anointing, fresh new day. The time of the singing of the birds has come. Yeah, winter is over, girls, boys, everyone. Winter is over, Song of Solomon's. Winter is over, dear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are you a member of this house? Yeah, cool. You do? Do you serve? You do? You're going to serve more. Just do more. Just put your hand to the plow and get up into that prayer room. That prayer room's got the touch of God on it. You want the touch of God? Get in that prayer meeting room. Just book it in. Here she is, the prayer warrior, a prayer warrior. Thank you, Jesus. Shaka halabarai. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your pastors.
Yes, amen.
Your pastors need your prayer and your covering. Get into that prayer chapel and pray. Lift them up, your family. Hello, there you are again, my little red-headed princess. Blessing on you, darling. Okay, I've got one more thing to do. I'm so sorry I've gone over. Just one more person. She's amazing. I want to ask one question, just while we're all here. Perhaps you can just remain standing, but maybe just bow in a moment of prayer and respect. You just sit down on the floor, that's fine. You could be here tonight, and you're away from Jesus. You're not following him. You've drifted, or you're just not sure, or maybe you've come as a guest tonight and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. Jesus is against the odds. He's a redeemer. He comes in to each and every one of us, and the Bible says that he's our kinsman redeemer. Like Ruth, who was a widow, a Moabite, yes, went back to the house of bread and praise, which is the house of God, with her grieving mother-in-law, whose husband and to Ruth and her other sister-in-law's husband, they all died because they went outside the house of God. They went to Moab. And the book of Ruth says, in the days that the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And the silly man took his family to Moab. He should have stayed in the house of God. But Ruth, against the odds, she went. She left against the odds. Naomi told her, no, go back to Moab. Don't come with me. I can't offer you anything. But she had a vision in her heart. Hey, I'm leaving my past behind. It was nothing but death here. I see that God is doing things in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. I'm coming with you. Don't try and, you know the famous thing, don't implore me to go back. I'm coming with you. Your God, my God. Your people, my people. Only let death part me from you. That's the decision to follow Jesus. And you know what happened? She went back. And against the odds, a dream for her future came to pass. She went to glean in the field of Boaz. Oh, it's a long story. I have to come back and preach that message. But Boaz's mother was Rahab the harlot. And she said the same thing. I'm getting out of Jericho. And she made a plan and she hid the spies. And they said, if you put the scarlet cord outside your window on the wall, we'll rescue you and all your family. But it starts with one person. Phil and I got saved, and the grace of God went like a fire through our family, and redemption. Jesus became our kinsman redeemer. And tonight he extends his hand of redemption to each and every one of us here tonight who are not sure, who are backslidden, and but are coming back. And I want to invite you in this moment to be included in this final prayer, which is the prayer of salvation, asking Jesus to come into your heart while every head is bowed and eye closed. Looking at, I want you to raise your hand and say, include me. I need to be included in this prayer, Pastor Chris. Young, old, gray-haired, blonde, sir. Did you just raise your hand? Yes? Was that a hand going up or a sore shoulder? Good man. Hand up. Good. What? Both. Sore shoulder and hand of redemption. I like that. Let's believe for healing. Who else is there tonight? Is there somebody else? There's a gorgeous man down there saying yes to Jesus. You? That's you? Good. Another, well, I can't say gorgeous. I'm a married woman, but a good-looking young man. Okay, anyone else? While we're waiting, can I ask you two gentlemen to come and stand down the front, please? I'm here. Oh, don't worry. And your friend can come with you if you like. You're going to get saved and healed. Come here, young man. Come with a friend. Come with a friend. You too? No, you're with your mate. Oh, anyone else? Any girls? Come on. Hey. At 18, I gave my heart to Jesus, and I didn't even know who he was. I had no idea what he was going to do in my life. Is there any women here tonight? You're not sure. You might be a good person, but it's the grace of God. It's Jesus Christ. It's a gift. You don't have to earn it. You can't do works in church and think, I'm saved. It's a gift. You can't. So if you're here tonight, anybody else, just quickly. Young people, young men, women. The first step is to say yes to Jesus. You know, one time I was in England, I used to do these singing concerts in England. I had this altar call for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and all these people came out, and this girl got totally filled, and then they went back to their seat, and then I called for salvation, and she came out. I'm like, Lord, it was the wrong way around. But God can do anything, you know. So she rededicated her life to Jesus is what she did, because she realized, oh my gosh, the presence of God is so precious, I'm not going to waste it anymore. So if you're here tonight and you want to be included in this prayer, that's okay. If you don't want to come down, say the prayer anyway. So should we say it all together? So proud of you. So proud of you. This could be the beginning of a whole new life for the three of you. For you, sir. Turning away from the old life is only hard if you don't take Jesus with you. If he's with you, it's beautiful. And you know what Jesus said to the disciples? He called them. He said, follow me. And guess what they did? They left their nets and followed him. In other words, they didn't take any of their past with them. They left their old life behind. And that's what you're going to do tonight. You've got a lot of help that's going to help you untangle things in your life. So we're going to say this prayer all together. And we're standing with you. We're standing with you, mate. So let's say it out aloud after me. Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to wash me and cleanse me from all sin and help me follow you and fill me with the Holy Spirit and help me come into the house of God and worship you and give my life to you all my days. I thank you, Jesus, for saving me tonight. Amen. Now just stay right there. I'm going to pray for you, each one. I pray for this young man that he will be loosed from his past and loosed from everything that's bound him. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Walk in freedom. Now, Holy Spirit, pour down fresh oil on his head. Thank you, Jesus. Let him be born again, born again, born again by the Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name. Touch him. Amen. And this young man too. Holy Spirit, pour down upon him. Pour down upon him. Let them be followers of Jesus, lifting each other up to follow you, not going back. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, touch him. Set him free from every addiction and bondage in Jesus' name. And Lord, upon this man the same. Let him be set free in Jesus' name. That all anger and fear and disappointment leave him. Loose him tonight. Sorry. And Lord, heal his shoulder. I just stood on his foot, so he probably needs healing from that too. Sorry, mate. Sorry, mate. Be healed. Stay there. Let the Holy Spirit touch you. Which shoulder is it again? That one. Stay there. Pastor's coming to take over. Wreck the church. Don't worry, I won't be back for a while. Blessings and healing through his whole body in Jesus' name. Healing through the whole body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Eleanor. Pastor Eleanor. I'm done. Is that all right? I'm done. Done like a roast lamb dinner on a Sunday afternoon, which I'm looking forward to one day. Oh, thank you. God bless your church. Let me just speak a final prayer. Just put your hand on your heart. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.